Four games tonight in the NBA, including Melo's re-debut. We've got the rundown for you.
And Luka Doncic is taking the NBA by storm again and making a case that he's a top 10, nay, top 5 player in the NBA.
Sounds like the Dallas Mavericks guy right there. And it's 15 years on from Malice in the Palace. And we've got some other guys who maybe should be in the NBA before Melo. Let's do it. It's the Wednesday edition of Locked On NBA.
You are Locked On the NBA, part of the Locked On Podcast Network.
Welcome to the Wednesday edition of Locked On NBA, the daily podcast covering everything you want to know about the association. On Wednesdays, I'm your co-host Jake Madison, at NolaJake on Twitter, and the host of the Locked On Pelicans podcast.
And I am Nick Angstead. You can follow me on Twitter, at Nick Van Exit. I am the host of the Locked On Mavericks podcast, if you couldn't guess that already.
Yeah, it might have been a little obvious from the opening there, but that's okay. This is why we like the local experts hopping on, talking about their team when they are the biggest stories. We'll get to Luka in the second segment. He's on my fantasy team, too. I'm really excited about him this year. But first,
what a winner.
It was a late night of action in the NBA. You didn't watch all the games. We did. We call it the too long didn't watch. Let's run it down for you. Starting with the Golden State Warriors taking on the Memphis Grizzlies. Golden State wins 114-95, getting just their third win of the season. This was a gross Memphis game.
Yeah, there's going to be games like that for this team. There's Ja Morant still put up 20 points, 6 assists. But they're going to have games when he is, you know, minus 25, who's a team high. Young point guards in this league just take a while to be able to figure out certain things. The passes that some, you know, veteran players make, if you watch LeBron, just some of the passes he can make, he's all world passer, but there's just certain things that veteran players know, and John Morant's just going to take him some time to figure that out. And then, you know, as with most teams that are at the bottom of the barrel in the NBA right now, just the bench, they struggle with the bench. Brandon Clark coming off the bench, 17 points, 5 boards, 3 assists, a block, a steal. He's a revelation for that team. But other than that, I mean, can we find somebody to score around here?
Yeah, they only put up 16 points in the second quarter, and basically it was like all she wrote at that point. They just didn't have the firepower to come back from this one. Morant did have the 20, but he was 7 of 20 shooting, 35%. That's probably not going to get it done. For Golden State, you had Alec Burks' game out of nowhere. Also, they have so many guys that are like, yeah, someone's got to score on this team. He put up 29 on the night. Glenn Robinson the third with 20. Draymond Green running point guard for a while for him. 8 points, 11 assists, 10 rebounds. He banged his elbow, I think it was, in this one. That's the last thing they can afford is another injury. But good for the Golden State Warriors for going to 3-12 on the year.
The fall from grace, man, it just seems like even in wins, you just look at this team and you say, man, who's coming off the bench for this team? Kai Bowman, Marquise Chris, Jordan Poole, Omari Spellman. Would those players play for most of the playoff teams in the NBA? I mean, even play, let alone, you know, some of them get starts. I mean, that it's just rough over there right now. Just to go from whenever DeMarcus Cousins first came back, I don't even remember exactly when that was, but when he first came back in the lineup and everyone was saying, man, look at this team. Even they're getting even DeMarcus Cousins back, and they're top of the world. Everyone was saying it's unfair to now go down to this. It's incredible to see how far they've fallen and how fast.
Yeah. In less than a year too, it was weird. There was a stat that I overheard. They played the Pelicans on Sunday, and someone was saying the only person that's playing in this game that's scored against the Pelicans for the Golden State Warriors was Draymond Green, when they've got like 10 or 11 guys active. That's the type of turnover that they've had in terms of their roster, and how some of these guys are just people you've never heard of and basically nobodies. Sticking with New Orleans, they beat the Portland Trail Blazers 115-104. Good win for New Orleans in this one. I was there. It was nice to see. Jrue Holiday was good. Brandon Ingram was good. Both those guys putting over 20 points up in this one. But the story was Carmelo Anthony making his debut. I got caught up in the hype. I was like, you know what? Why not? I don't think Melo really fixes a ton of what ails the Portland Trailblazers. And you know what? That hype was unneeded. Getting a start like a couple hours after signing his contract, 4 of 14 from the field, 10 points on the night, 0 assists. That seems about right. Five turnovers. He was a minus 20 for the Portland Trailblazers. The next closest guy was minus 10, and he did all this in like 24 minutes.
Yeah, and he almost fouled out, too. He had 5 fouls in the game. I mean, could the night have gone worse for Carmelo? He's getting all the love, and I kind of understand you falling for the hype because at some point, if enough people say something, you're going to start to believe it yourself. And the Carmelo Anthony hype kind of fell into that, right? There's a lot of people that are saying Carmelo needs to get in the league, and it was almost like there are some people on Twitter mostly and other places on the web, Reddit and all that stuff, that it almost seemed like Carmelo was like a Kaepernick situation, right? Like,
yeah, just so many people that were saying he was blackballed, and it's like that's not what this is. It's just the games passed him by. I think the best joke I saw on Twitter, he's wearing 00 for the Portland Trailblazers, and someone goes, oh, he picked his number off his defensive rating in NBA 2K.
Oh, man.
Is that mean?
Have you seen – that is definitely mean. Have you seen his Instagram post of his – okay, so his Instagram post is like this black and white picture of him in a it's not black and white. It's like this very dark picture of him in a hoodie with a number 00 and like – I guess a soliloquy or a list of just why he's number 0. It's a number greater than any assignable quantity or countable number symbol without end, process that never stops, can never be given an exact value, simplicity and balance. The mysticism of our past and the possibility for an eternal future give the infinity symbol a sense of awe and wonder. And that was only half of the things he put on his Instagram post. I mean, man,
the dude's like a poet describing 00 like that, right?
It's like, is Jesus Christ himself coming back? I mean,
it's the Alpha and Omega here.
He put that at the end.
Okay, I'm glad I didn't just guess it. Also, watching this game in person, is Hassan Whiteside the least impactful guy who gets paid over $20 million a year? Because it feels like that.
I think Chandler Parsons has something to say.
Yeah, he actually might. Okay, guy who plays over like 20 minutes a game, maybe. He had 14 and 14 in this one. No Damian Lillard for the Trailblazers. Look, Melo's there to like get to the line and get you some buckets. He did neither in this one. It was just kind of rough to watch. Good win for New Orleans. They go to 5-9 on the year. Portland falls to 5-10. Moving on from the Melo jokes, and we'll probably make some more in the third segment when we pick some other guys who should be in the league over him right now. I don't know what names you're going to pick, Nick, but I think we're going to laugh over these, but we're also not going to be wrong. The Sacramento Kings took on the Phoenix Suns, getting a 120-116 win. They were in control of this one early, having a 26-point lead at one point. But Phoenix at least kind of came back at the end of the third when the Kings' offense just fell off. At the end of the third, start of the fourth quarter, Phoenix got hot, but it was too little, too late. For the Suns, you had Bogdanovich off the bench with 31 points on the night. Rashawn Holmes, who they seem very high on at center, 20 points and 15 rebounds. They just kind of outshot and lasted, I guess, against the Suns here.
Yeah, Rashawn Holmes is like, he's like your wannabe Nerlens Noel in a way, but he's a little better at a lot of different things. He's a very opportunistic scorer. He seems to always be around the basket. He seems to always be jumping in the air somehow. He's always up there. And Bogdanovich is like, I attribute him to like Luka Light. He just does so many things that Luka does. He's a pretty good passer. He doesn't get to the line as much. He doesn't get into the paint as much, but he has a really good shot. He's a really good jumper. He can get a shot off in a lot of different spaces. And I don't know why they're not starting him, especially with the injuries. You know, De'Aaron Fox still out. Corey Joseph got the start in this. They should just start him at point guard at this point. But it seems to be working with him coming off the bench.
Yeah, I mean, he had a huge game. Maybe it's just the lesser competition. He also went 7 of 9 from three. That's going to help your team get a win here. For the Phoenix Suns, Devin Booker, 30 points on the night. Not the most efficient night for him. 8 assists, though, as well. 5 rebounds. Off the bench, Mikal Bridges had 20 points. And then they just got a bunch of no-shows from a bunch of other guys. So they lose. They're sneaky okay still, though. I kind of believe in the Suns team a little bit.
Yeah, they were missing Aaron Baines in this game, which is massive for them. He has been incredible. I think that when DeAndre Ayton comes back, that they're going to have a real decision to make with him and Aaron Baines, who's going to start. And Frank Kaminsky's actually been quietly pretty good.
He's been kind of okay for them this year.
Yeah, he became a huge joke after, you know, what was it, Michael Jordan wouldn't trade 4 first-round picks to Miami for for that pick. And he,
yeah.
But 17 points in this game, he's been pretty decent off the bench and giving them some pretty good center minutes.
Their front court works really well with Devin Booker. That, like, their front court, other than Ayton, kind of has some range on them. Like, Aaron Baines in particular, the fact that he can shoot threes, like, opens them up for what they want to do and just allows dudes to cut baseline a ton. They're kind of fun to watch. And Monty Williams, we all maybe forgot about, but he's a pretty good coach, too. Unfortunately, they dropped this one after just not getting anything done in the first half. Final game of the night, the Los Angeles Lakers take on the Oklahoma City Thunder. 112-107 win for the Lakers. Anthony Davis was pretty awesome in this one. He had a 34-point game, 7-rebound, 4-assist night. He was 3 of 5 from deep, at one point going 3 of 3. LeBron James with a triple-double, 25 points, 10 assists, 11 rebounds. He now has a triple-double against every team in the league. Did I hear that right?
Yeah, because it was all over my Twitter timeline, and ESPN sent me a notification, and they said it on the broadcast 6 times.
Yep, okay,
it's
so
definitely
I did hear it
true,
right.
But it's a wild stat, though, that you, first, the longevity, second, that he's changed teams so that he could do it against his old teams as well, because there's sometimes where it's like, oh, he's done this against, you know, Dirk would have these stats, or he's done this against 29 teams, like 30th is obviously the Mavericks, he's never done it, but yeah, that's a wild stat. This team relies so much on LeBron James, though. When he sits down, their offensive rating goes all the way down to 88. That's 88. That's like the worst.
You don't want that.
Any other record of any team in the NBA, and probably any team in a long time. They rely on him so much. It'll be interesting to see when he sits games eventually for rest or whatever, that how they try to replace him.
Yeah. And the thing is, he's really trying on defense this year, too. Like, he's actually, like, the playoff LeBron that he said he was going to be last year, he's actually doing it now early on in the regular season and really setting the tone for that Lakers team. They got out to a big lead at one point in this one, or big enough lead, double digits, where they just swarmed all over the Oklahoma City Thunder. The Thunder, though, somehow made this a competitive game. I was watching the end of it, and all of a sudden they were just down 3, and I had almost no idea how that sort of happened, other than maybe Gallinari's a bad matchup for the Lakers. He had 25 points on the night, 6 rebounds, 7 of 11 shooting, 2 of 5 from deep. He got to the line 11 times and just caused them all sorts of problems. Dennis Schroeder, 31 points for him as well. And Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, 16 points. He finished with 5 rebounds, 4 assists. This was closer than it should have been, but man, I think OKC is now still winless on the road. There, it's a little bit rough going for him.
Yeah, it's tough when your quote-unquote best player, Chris Paul, gives you 4 points. That's kind of tough. But Dennis Schroeder, every single time that LeBron would sit down, it felt like Dennis Schroeder would go on a 6-0 run. Just felt like the Lakers kind of – they took their foot off the gas a lot during this game. And Anthony Irwin, who hosts one of the Locked On NBA shows as well as Locked On Lakers, put it this way on Silver Screen Roll. He said that the Lakers – for big chunks of games, and I think he was specifically talking about the Hawks game a couple days ago, they play with their food. I thought that was a great analogy for this Lakers team, because when they are locked in, like you said, they swarm the basket. They have Anthony Davis and Dwight Howard, or Anthony Davis and JaVale McGee out there at all times, and they just block everything at the rim. The Lakers guards and wings just kind of funnel everything to them, and they just get out in transition, and LeBron and AD in transition is just insane.
Oh,
I don't know
nuts.
How you – LeBron was throwing, you know, look ahead passes like nobody's business tonight. So when they get stops, they can beat anybody in the NBA, and they can run up anybody. But then as soon as they like lay off and they start taking jumpers and settling, and then they just turn into a bad offensive team.
Yeah, they were awesome in transition and in the fast break in this game. They forced a bunch of turnovers, 16 for the Oklahoma City Thunder. That turned into 27 points for the Lakers, 30 points in the fast break for them. And that size in the front court against some teams, I don't know, Steven Adams doesn't do well against Anthony Davis. 25 second chance points. How weird is it, though, that you mentioned Dwight Howard in that sentence talking about the team? It's 2019. I never thought we would be speaking about him in this way. But he's given them really good minutes.
Yeah, he's been incredible in his role. He's not been, you know, all-star Dwight Howard. You know, Yeah, sometimes Lakers fans talk about their own guys, and it seems like, well, this guy should be an all-star the way they talk about him. But he's just been solid in his role, and that's honestly been surprising. And Melo should definitely take a take notes off of this performance from Dwight Howard so far this season.
Yeah, accept your role, know your role. By the way, Melo, I saw the stat on going back to that game. His usage rate in the game against the Pelicans last night tonight was higher than he's ever had in a single season for him, which means they were just getting him the ball and trying to let him cook. And if you're getting blocked by rookie Jackson Hayes, who is all sorts of springy and long, Melo shouldn't be having that happen and decided just to go right at him. Probably tells you how things are going for Melo. Take a page of the Dwight Howard playbook, which is, again, a really weird thing to say in 2019, given where Howard's career was going.
He once owned 40 snakes in his house, so don't take a page out of that book.
take the 20. Is that a real thing?
Yeah. There's this whole, like, I guess documentary, or they did some kind of show where they make these special like fish tanks that made him like a terrarium inside his house for his snakes. It takes up like an entire wall, and it was just the weirdest thing I've ever seen.
Yeah, I'm going to actually look that up later. Okay, that's going to do it for the too long didn't watch enough on Dwight Howard there. We're going to get to Luka Doncic since we've got the Mavs guy here. Before we do that, though, today's show brought to you by Audible. Audible has the world's largest selection of audiobooks and audio entertainment. Start listening with a 30-day Audible trial. Choose one audiobook and two Audible originals absolutely free. Visit audible.com/lockedonNBA. If you're listening on the go and you can't visit Audible right now, you can find this and all other offers from Locked On sponsors at lockedonpodcast.com/offers. All right, Nick, we've got you on the show, subbing in for John today. We're going to take advantage here. And Luka had a huge game the other night, putting up a triple-double. He's been awesome this season. The guys on yesterday's show talked about him being an MVP candidate. You might go a little homerish on there, starting just right off the bat. Do you see him as an MVP candidate this year?
Every person that I've heard talk about an MVP list so far this season puts him on there. And he's just so far and away been the driver of this Mavericks team. They're 8-5 right now. They were a 33-win team last year. Just the leap that he's taken, the ability that he has just to take over games to with his playmaking, with his scoring in the paint and outside. He's not shooting super well from three so far, 31%, but he can, get it done.
He's come up with some pretty clutch ones this season, like when you need him to hit some buckets that are daggers and basically ice the game.
I think he'd be shooting 35% if he just cut down a couple wild shots during the game. There's times during games where Luka just throws up a couple wild shots and a couple of just like, hey, I wonder if I can make this. And I think that his 3-point percentage
allowed that too.
Would be a lot. Well, he has the incredible green light. I mean, just whenever he wants to shoot, whatever he wants to do, he has the ball pretty much at all times. So he takes over games with his passing. His rebounding has been a big thing this year. And I've even seen people put together, clips of all of his rebounds and say, oh, these are just empty calories. But he's doing the Westbrook thing. Not that he's stealing rebounds from people, but the Mavericks have it so that Luka is – he's defending somebody that isn't the point of attack, and so he's kind of around the three-point line, and so he just cheats off his man. He grabs a rebound, and he pushes in transition, and that's how he gets a ton of his rebounds, and that helps the Mavericks offense a ton, and they're one of the best offenses in the league right now.
Yeah, they're top five depending on where you look, and I mean, obviously he's the driving force behind all of this, and it's just kind of wild what he's doing at, age 20 right now. And you look at some of his offensive game, if you're playing in transition and you're running and you're scoring that way, it can make maybe not great offensive guys look okay. I've seen it here in New Orleans with Lonzo Ball out in transition, putting up some points. Him in the half court, though, is really something to see with just kind of his handles, the command of the ball, and some of the moves he pulls. That jab step he has is dirty from up top. At age 20, you shouldn't be this refined, but then we remember he's been a professional player for an extremely long time at this point.
Yeah, he has all the poise that you'd want in a player his age. And a lot of people talk about in the draft, do you want a young, 19, 20-year-old player that you can kind of groom and that you have to teach up in the league? And even talking about, Jackson Hayes again, we'll bring him up, that he was in high school 2 years ago at Bowler High School in Cincinnati.
Yep.
I mean, and Luka Doncic 2 years ago was winning, EuroLeague MVP. I mean, it's just wild that I wonder if this is going to be a new thing for NBA teams, or if this is just Luka is just a blip in the radar, because getting these guys that have been professionals for years and coming through these academies and doing the soccer method, helps these guys become professionals faster. And I wonder if that's something that teams will focus on. But yeah, Luka's control in the pace in the paint has been incredible, just making guys miss, sending players in certain directions with his fakes. And yeah, that jab step move you mentioned, he either can go back into his step back three, step back jumper, or just go straight into the paint. And he does that move where he puts the ball on somebody's back, and you see it in highlights sometimes where he puts the ball on somebody's back and they spin all the way around and makes them look stupid. But he has so many different moves like that that, you know, just throw people off. And it's incredible to watch. If you're not watching the Mavericks right now, I don't know what you're doing. This is the league pass team right now.
Yeah, look, they are in they're right in the thick of the Western Conference playoff race. They seem to me a team that maybe would be slightly on the outside looking in. You're doing this when Porzingis isn't at his best even remotely, and Luka's able to really carry this team. Like, some of the things he's doing right now, and he's averaging 29.5 points per game, 10.7 rebounds, and 9.3 assists. He's getting close to that triple-double territory that you mentioned Russell Westbrook was in. Part of it is because he's getting those rebounds, but he's not stealing them. It's to start them in transition where they've been really effective this year. It's just kind of wild to see someone his age. And like you said, we're used to looking at 20-year-olds. It's going to take them a little bit to kind of figure this out. They need to go out and play and make mistakes and grow from that. He's not making a ton of mistakes out there with his usage being what it is, averaging only 4.6 turnovers per game. Overall, that's pretty good. I haven't watched him a ton, but how's his defense been this year?
His defense is okay. I mean, obviously they don't throw him on, you know, the best players out there, but he gets switched on some players every once in a while. And when he really tries, he's like Harden and Kyrie and all those guys. When he really tries, he can do stuff. He had a stop against LeBron in that crazy Luka LeBron game earlier this year. And he can get it done. He's always trying to tip passes, and he can hold his ground against a lot of players because he's bigger. He's not as big as he was last year, but he's a bigger player.
A lot of guys are shorter.
when he's playing against guards, you know, they can't really take him in the post and things like that. So he's decent. He's not, you know, a complete minus on defense, in my opinion.
Yeah, it's just been really fun, and it seems like the team's built kind of well around him, getting enough shooting to kind of space the court for him a little bit and just let him do his thing. I don't know. You're right. They're a league pass team. People should be paying attention to him, because when it gets into crunch time with this team, he is really fun to watch with the ball in his hands.
Yeah, it seems we're at the point almost where you think that the ball's going to go in when he takes it every single time in the clutch. It's just when the ball goes up, you just assume that it is going to go in, because he's just such a clutch player. He knows the moments. He can, you know, make the right play, and he's only 20 years old. It's wild. This Mavericks team, though, they're built well around him. They have one squeaky wheel, though. Who do you think that Mavericks fans are most upset with right now? If you had to pick one squeaky wheel.
I've got to like pull up the roster and like actually think about it, because off the top of my head, I don't think I can say it. Here, spoil it. Let's hear it.
So Kristaps Porzingis is, you know, not having the greatest year, but it's not him. Dwight Powell has been a pariah in the past, and people have been really upset with him. Tim Hardaway Jr. is the player that Mavs fans are most upset with pretty much at all times. And it's pretty wild to watch the shots that he takes and the decisions
his
makes.
His shooting's terrible this year.
He definitely took a page out of the Carmelo playbook. So if you're watching the Mavs, the team is built really well, and there's really only one spot on the team that, you know, causes a lot of frustration, because the shots that he takes are just it's incredible that, you know, he still plays sometimes. His leash isn't shorter.
So is this just like a Knicks thing? It's just like a curse that spreads to other guys. He's shooting 34.4% from the field on 10 shots per game, and under 30% from deep on six attempts per game. Yeah, that's not good.
Yeah, it's just – I don't – yeah.
he's like, I'm going to leave it right there.
Just going to leave it there. Tim Hardaway Jr. really struggling. And, yeah, he had a play the other game where he got the ball in transition. He's running up the court. Carlisle's telling him to hold the ball. And then he just causes an offensive foul. he runs right into Jakob Poeltl, and then immediately gets taken out of the game. That's the only dark spot in this Mavericks team so far. The rest has been pretty encouraging. Even Porzingis' struggles, he's hitting a decent percentage from three. He's shooting decently inside, you know, close to the basket. It's just the mid-range he's really struggling with. But overall, Mavericks team, keep him in your league pass rotation.
Yeah, and look, it's understandable that he's struggling. And we're going to go back to struggles and the one that Carmelo Anthony had and make fun of him in the third segment, because why not? Let's have a little bit of fun with it. Before we do that, though, attention past, present, and future MyBookie players. During the Thanksgiving week, MyBookie is offering a risk-free bet on the Bears-Lions game. Simply choose a team against the spread for up to $250. If you win, congrats! You get some extra holiday spending money. If you lose, also congrats, because MyBookie will give you all your money back. It's a no-brainer because you literally cannot lose. It's no risk, all gravy. It doesn't matter whether you're an experienced player or a first-time customer, MyBookie welcomes all to come play. So quit waiting around and sign up today. Do you find yourself wanting to sports bet but have a lot of questions? Don't sweat it. MyBookie's patient customer service team can walk you through the process. And the best part is, if you join this Thanksgiving week, you still have one last shot to take advantage of their incredible sign-up offer. Just log on to MyBookie.ag, that's MyBookie.ag, and make your first deposit with the promo code LOCKEDONNBA, and MyBookie will match your deposit dollar for dollar, free money right there, to jumpstart your bankroll. And that's on top of the risk-free bet. Let me repeat, that's a guaranteed deposit match and a risk-free bet for Thanksgiving only. So if you're a true football fan or basketball fan, you do not want to let this opportunity pass you by. You simply cannot lose. Make sure you do your part to support your team this season. Hop on the gravy train and get in on the action with MyBookie. You play, you win, you get paid. All right, so we're going to talk about some other guys that should be in the NBA, and we're going to have a little bit of fun with this. But we got to mention that yesterday was 15 years from the Malice at the Palace fight. Nick and I were talking about this and kind of remembering it, and I dated myself on this because I was 18 years old at a freshman bar here in New Orleans, getting pretty drunk on a Friday night, and I shockingly still remember this game in great detail because we could not believe it. Nick, you had a different experience about this.
Yeah, not at a bar, not of age.
I think I wasn't of age either.
Yeah, true. I think I was 12 years old. I was in sixth grade, I think, and all I just remember is waking up the next day and turning on SportsCenter and just watching it over and over and over again and thinking, you know, what could possibly be going through Ron Artest's head? Just over and over. That's the only thing I could think of.
It was wild and just kind of, that's one of those things that caused a lot of changes and ripple effects in the NBA that maybe they're still kind of feeling a little bit of. And when you see some of these fan interactions and the hardline stance the NBA is taking on it, which they should be doing, part of it might be because they're terrified of another incident like this. This was a huge black eye for the league. The dress code that came about almost exactly a year later probably had something to do with it as well. Just kind of weird. Looking back on this, it's just an absolutely insane situation. We were watching the replays all night, and I think like when the first punch is thrown, everyone in the bar starts cheering every time on SportsCenter when it played again, which sounds about right for a bunch of 18-year-olds all at a bar. So moving on from that, Melo made his re-debut to the NBA last night against the Pelicans. Not a good game. Again, minus 20 on the night. No assists from him with a very high usage rate. He was not blackballed from the league whatsoever. The league simply might have just passed him by. So there's got to be some other guys out there that can kind of make their re-debut in the NBA that seem better than Melo. Unless this is somewhat of a, I don't think it's really a publicity stunt for the Blazers. Do you have anyone in mind, Nick, who could probably put into the NBA right now?
Well, the first one that came to mind is Dirk. I mean, he should still be in the league. Even if he doesn't play anymore, he should just be sitting on a bench somewhere. It's very weird to have the Mavericks and not Dirk. So I had to put that one in there.
That's fair.
My realistic one is Jeremy Lin. I'm just so surprised that Jeremy Lin couldn't find a spot in the NBA, you know, teams always need guards. The Warriors could definitely use him. I think at this point they're running Draymond Green at point guard, you said earlier today. So Jeremy Lin definitely could find a place in the NBA right now, and I'm very surprised he's not.
Yeah, that's one that seemed a little bit odd, and it just like no one had any interest in him in the league. I think you and I talked before we started recording here, Jamal Crawford seems to jump to everyone's mind, because he had a 51-point performance at age 39 last year against your Mavericks, kind of spoiling a night there.
Yeah, that was a really weird thing. It was Dirk's final game in Dallas, and there was all these legends there, like Charles Barkley, Larry Bird was there, Detlef Schrempf, Scottie Pippen. There's so many people there. Jamal Crawford is like almost winning the game at the very end, and we're just going, no, what are you doing? This is not the time for you to go off. It was like if in Kobe's last game when he scored 60 against the Jazz, if like Gordon Hayward just all of a sudden tried to like match him and just started taking
just
all
going.
The
it was like, yeah. No, we're gonna upstage this in a game that doesn't matter for either. He was on the Suns at the time. It's not like it mattered for either team at that point, right?
And apparently it didn't matter for Jamal Crawford because he's not on a roster.
Ooh, there you go. Yeah. See? Yeah. Well, like, maybe part of it is you don't want just guys that go out and like get you buckets and just score kind of inefficiently. I don't know how many shots he took in that game. I'm going to assume a lot if it was 51 points he put up. What about another Crawford, Jordan Crawford? When he was here in New Orleans, they called him Instant Grits because you could just throw him out on the court and he could get you some points.
Xavier guy.
Yeah, just keeping with the last name there. What about Nate Robinson? Let's get him back in the league, right? He seems
he could probably still dunk.
Yeah, like he could get you a couple points on a nightly basis.
I have a couple more.
Okay.
Does Andre Iguodala count? Can we get Andre Iguodala back on an NBA
more
court?
Just like a free Andre Iguodala thing?
Is he still in San Francisco? He was spotted in San Francisco with a Warriors shirt on the other day, just hanging out. He's on the Memphis Grizzlies roster.
Well, that's kind of sad.
Does J.R. Smith count? Is he playing? Where's J.R. Smith?
That, I have no idea. I think I'm going to pick Melo over J.R. Smith.
Okay, Joakim Noah was a big story against Dwight Howard this summer when the Lakers were trying to figure out who their last big man was, and everyone wanted it to be Joakim Noah. It ended up being Dwight Howard, and maybe the Lakers picked the right one, but Joakim Noah I feel like could make a roster still.
Yeah, somewhere some teams gotta need a big like. Look, New Orleans is getting thin at times. If they didn't have youth there, they might be looking at him for that sort of thing. So when I was watching the teams warm up today, we saw a guy, and it might have been him. And I wasn't really sure because it was from a distance, but he looked a whole lot like Nick Van Exel.
Oh, his near game, and dear to my heart.
I know. I was going to say, his game almost seems like premature. He would thrive in today's NBA. Throw him out on the court with the shooting. Like, he could probably do something, right? At least it's like an efficient three-point shooter, which adds some value.
Yeah, well, I think he's like 47 now, but
he's pretty old.
Do you know who would be 32 years old right now, actually just turned 32?
No, I do not.
You can just name
a lot
anybody.
Of people. Yeah, it's like a number of guys probably.
Former All-NBA center Andrew Bynum. He should still be in the league. It's still kind of wild to me, his rise in the NBA. He gets traded in the Dwight Howard trade, you know, away from the Lakers, and just all of a sudden falls out and just is not part of the league anymore. And he's only 32. I mean, he could still be playing.
Yeah, that's weird. He's younger than me, and like I'm 33. I'm not that old. But like, yeah, you know what? Like, he should have been in the league. Here's the thing. All of these names probably make more sense than Carmelo Anthony, given the debut that he had. And look, they probably shouldn't be giving him the ball and letting him just do what he wants offensively and find a way to integrate him a little bit more. It's also been a year and 11 days since he played a competitive basketball game. I know we've seen all of his gym workouts. He's still probably not quite in game shape, so we shouldn't make that much fun of him here on Locked On NBA. But we're probably also not wrong on some of these names, I think.
Yeah, I don't think we're wrong. I also think there's more to this Carmelo thing than just we think he could help the team. If you remember, Damian Lillard sat down with Paul Allen a couple years ago, and people were talking about that conversation a lot because, you know, Damian Lillard was going to be a free agent, and the NBA is now all about just keeping your stars happy and doing anything you can to keep your stars happy. And a couple years ago, CJ McCollum and Damian Lillard, you know, went to bat to say, hey, we want Carmelo on this team, and they couldn't trade for him, or they didn't trade for him, or something like that. And so now maybe they're making up for it. I think this is appeasing the players more than it's an actual basketball decision. And hey, if that's what you have to do to keep your stars around, to keep that team relevant, then all the power to you, Portland.
So I think that's actually a really interesting point. We'll wrap it up pretty much with this. I also think that might have something to do with the whole part of rest and load management. You know, some of these guys don't want to be playing all 82 games. If they want to sit them to make them happy, because that's kind of what you've got to do. And if it does mean you need to sign Melo to keep Damian Lillard happy, yeah, you probably go and do it. So you know what? Melo is keeping a team together. That's his new role, I guess, is what we can say, which probably also never happened before.
So he's a glue guy? Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, Melo just became a glue guy in the NBA at whatever age after not playing for a year and 11 days.
Title of the podcast.
We're ending on a positive note. He can't hate us anymore. We said something nice about him. So that's going to do it for the Wednesday edition of Locked On NBA. On Wednesdays, I'm your co-host, Jake Madison, at NolaJake on Twitter, and the host of the Locked On Pelicans podcast.
And you can follow me again at Nick Van Exit on Twitter. You can also follow the Locked On Mavericks podcast at Locked On Mavs on Twitter. Isaac and I are doing every single post game and 5 days a week, so you can go catch all the Luka Doncic goodness over there.
And there's a lot of it right now, so it's a very fun listen. Thank you all for listening to the show. Be back next week. Tomorrow we've got another episode of Locked On NBA for you, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.